started recording.
What if I separated you guys? Like, you on that side of the room and you on that side of the room. You guys don't talk to each other anyways. You just go on your phone. So I would have to put your phone on that side of the room and you on that side of the room. What are we doing today?
Okay. First thing, let me finish up a point that we didn't finish up last time about hijab. Okay. Hijab, okay. Haram relationship between men and women, it's like a cliff. You don't want to fall into the cliff, right?
It's a very, very thin line, guys. I'm not going to tell you right now. I can't really be like, okay, right, wrong, wrong, right. But there, well, yeah, I could. It would hurt you guys' feelings, so that's why I can't. This is a school, and I'm not really here to judge your opinions. Yeah, I am. Wait.
What I'm trying to say here is that we try to stay from the haram relationship between boys and girls.
And it's that is like more than dating.
Yes, it's more than dating. And dating also is part of it. Now, in order to avoid falling into this cliff, Islam provides lines of defense against adultery or against that haram relationship. The first line of defense here is shyness of the girl or the woman. Shyness of the girl and the woman. So the first thing is shyness. Women are shy. Girls are shy. To shy away, that's the first.
Like Hayat?
Like Hayat. Yeah.
I actually know a girl named Hayat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a common name. So.
That's how I spell it.
Okay. So now this should protect you from falling into the cliff. So, okay. Now some girls don't have Hayat, shyness. Then the second line of defense is hijab, towards you. Second line of defense is hijab.
Oh, okay, that makes
sense. Okay? So that's the second line of defense that protects you from falling into this cliff. The third line of defense is for men to lower their gaze. Like, men shouldn't be staring like that, looking for haram things to look at, haram images. So they should lower their gaze so that they don't look at, you don't look at women the ugly way. But by the way, if somebody wants to marry you, he's allowed to look at you. Like, wear light hijab. Don't wear like a big hijab. Like, wear a light hijab and a little bit tight clothes. Okay? So if somebody wants to marry you, he's entitled to seeing you like that before even engagement, because he's selecting a wife, okay?
But it is not like shopping. It's not like you're picking girls from the shelf who have like great, bodies and whatnot.
Okay, the most important thing is that the upper part of the boy and the girl fit together. The upper part is the one. Brains. The most important thing is the brains fitting together. If the brains fit together, then we're done. Marriage would be easy thing. But the lower part always does fit together. The lower part of the body of the man and woman, they always fit together. I mean, there is no chance that they don't fit together. The upper part is the part that we need to make sure they fit together. Got it? You don't, for example, if you have a PhD, don't marry somebody who is uneducated, for example. It's not wise. It's halal here, but it's not wise. You always look for somebody who is nice and religious. Both kind and religious. And you should wear loose clothes, something that will attract him. Probably some makeup, I don't know. But not the same hijab that you wear outside. So he's entitled to. Some cultures, the woman covers her face. And the person who wants to marry her, they don't get to see even her face. And just at the night of wedding, he gets to see her face for the first time. So it's like a good surprise and a bad surprise.
Isn't that like an arranged marriage?
Huh?
Isn't that like an arranged marriage?
Arranged marriages?
No, that's a different one.
That's
it's like
much worse than arranged marriages. That's much worse. Arranged marriages don't have to, you know, the boy and the girl get to see each other. The arrangement here is that parents pick whether the girls like it or not.
An arranged marriage, I know they make it that way mostly on the media and TVs where it's kind of like
that's like what it used to be. And now
arranged. I say arranged marriages were probably closer to your parents really want you to marry this guy, and so you kind of have it already set for you, but as you grow up, you are around him.
So you basically have two extremes. One extreme is that you're doing things all by yourself and you completely ignore your parents. That's one extreme. The other extreme is that you let your parents do everything and you just marry. Okay? You don't do anything. You don't have choices. The correct thing in Islam is always the middle. So your parents are part of it, but you are as well. Okay? This is what Islam says. No woman can marry, no woman have to marry against her will. Every woman or girl has to say yes. If she doesn't say yes, the marriage is not going to. This is why the person who writes the contract of the marriage, he sends someone to ask the bride, okay? Yes or no? So the bride is going to say yes or no, okay? All right? Now, the last line of defense is that Islam does not allow boys and girls to be alone in a place, in a closed place. Got it? So even if he's teaching her Quran, okay, even if the boy is teaching the girl Quran, they can't be alone. They have to be in a public place, kind of. Okay? Like sitting in the library. But they can't be in a place where they are secured place where nobody can like surprise walk in and walk out, things like that. They can't. It's not allowed. So
like not even a car.
So here?
Right?
Yeah. Maybe cars are yes. Usually a car you put the girl goes on the back seat.
Yeah.
You know? The girl goes on the back seat. Or other way around, the boy goes on the back seat. Depends on who's driving. Okay? But not next to each other.
Definitely not.
Yeah, definitely not next to each other. So, basically here you can see. Where is the...
I'm doing it.
Okay? All right. Any questions before we can go to the new subject?
Really quickly.
Actually, let me mention this. Okay. I mean, many of your friends, whether they're white or black or whatever, the friends in your school, they don't have shyness, okay? They pretty much have courage, you know? And then they don't have hijab.
Most obviously.
And the boys just keep looking at them.
Because it's not considered inappropriate and they weren't taught otherwise.
And then here... They can be alone. They can when they date, they go date alone. They be alone in the car. They be alone in some place.
I have a
once. Just a minute. Once you cross all these lines of defense, then it's almost impossible not to fall into this haram. Almost impossible. So if these lines of defense are not there, then it is a must. It's very rare that you can avoid this. Got it? So Islam, Allah says, do not approach this adultery relationship. Allah did not say, don't do it. Allah said, don't approach it. Like, you stay here. Okay? Don't break in the lines of defense moving forward towards such a relationship.
May I quickly add, I'm not really here to judge you, but you're not supposed to have any male friends because it's not necessary to any extent. So if you were to have any like male friends, it wouldn't... Would it be considered haram?
It depends if it's a decent business or indecent business.
But if you were to hang out at lunch with like a group of guys or just even one guy who comes to your group, it is also considered because it's lunch. There's no really any business for him to be there, yeah?
What if you have like a friend that's like younger than you but like
Well, again, it depends on the situation. If there are feelings between them, then they shouldn't be together. Okay? Now, so that's why they fall into...
If he's like below 10, it's fine.
Yeah, children are okay. So let's say if I want a date, would I pick her wearing the hijab? Or you wearing the hijab? Would I pick you if I want a date?
If you're in America and you want a date.
Yeah, no. Why? Because I know from your hijab, you're not this kind of a girl. So you are, the boys who approach you, they approach you for decent business, like homework, project, blah, blah, whatever it is, decent business you get engaged on. So the hijab protects you. If somebody wants to date, you will go to a girl wearing, for example, short and loose clothes, you know, something like that. Okay? So now let's move to the second subject, which is slavery. Islam allows slavery. Stereotypes about Islam, that Islam allows slavery. When Islam came, slavery was existing or non-existing?
Existing.
It was already existing. How about in Europe?
Yeah.
Existing. All over the world. Slavery existed when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought Islam. Okay. Islam did a very, very smart tactic to eliminate slavery. It doesn't come right away. It didn't come right away. It came onto stages because if it comes right away, it's going to be a problem because you have all these, right? Because you have all these slaves. So Islam makes one entrance only to slavery. If slavery is a tank, let's say slavery is a tank. This tank has only one end, which is prisoners of war. Okay? The only end for slavery in Islam is prisoners of war. Okay, if I don't slave the prisoners of war, what are the other alternatives? Either trade them for your prisoners of war, go ahead, or put them in prison, or pay ransom, okay, like pay ransom money, or kill them. In the Battle of Badr, the Prophet accepted ransom. So the same guys who got freed from slavery in the Battle of Badr came back to fight in the Battle of Uhud. So Allah said that that wasn't the right choice. He said to the Prophet, that wasn't the right choice to do because they came back to fight. So now, what are the in? It's just prisoners of war. So what are the out? I need big handwriting. Yes, let me see. The outs. Okay. You can't fast a day. Then what do you do? If you can't fast a day, if you're too old or you too sick, then what do? You free a slave. Can't fast. Can't fast. Then you free a slave. If you make wrong oath, if you say you made false oath, like false, like say, I swear by Allah, I will never enter your house. And then you enter the house. So you broke your oath. Is it called oath? I swear by Allah, I will never enter your house.
Oath is kind of a more extreme than promise. You know how you'll be like, oh yeah, I promise I'll do the dishes or something. It's not really that big of a deal. But if you really, really mean it, then you would take an oath, which I doubt many of you guys do.
Break your swear, for example, you have to swear. You have to say, Wallahi al-Azim, I am not going to do the dishes. Okay? So if you break that, I mean, whatever it is, if you say that and then you do the dishes, then you have to free. Among the right things, it's like either pay money for 10 poor people. If you can't, then you fast about 10 days. If you can, then you free slave. Got it? So, breaking the oath. What's the other out? It's also zakat, charity. Like, you wanna pay charity, so you pick like few slaves and freedom. Pay for their freedom. So that's a charity. And zakat.
Would you have... Can't you just free your own slaves?
You can do that.
And would you... And you can't really pay yourself, right? You would just give them like tools and stuff?
Even for other... If you want to free other slaves, you don't ask them for money. So... Zakat.
I know in Egypt, what they do is that swearing, like taking an oath, is part of the everyday language. So you don't do this. It's kind of like.
This is so casual.
Yeah, it's really casual. Like, wallah azim, I'm not gonna take this gift. It's too much. It's too much. And then like, wallah azim, I'm not gonna take it. And then it's like, well, I swear.
Can you write this? Sometimes you'd use it not intentionally. You use it just casually because it's a common language or something like that. Then, like, for example, I just give you an example. وَحِيَتْ أُمَّكْ in Arabic, which means that I swear by the life of your mom. Okay? It's very common. And it's not right either because it's not in the name of Allah. So can we swear in other than Allah? Can you say, like the life of your mom, or I swear by the light of my eyes, or whatever, something precious? No, you can swear only by Allah. How about others? Can they swear? I'm sorry, how about Allah? Can Allah swear by any other creation?
Yes.
By any creation? Yes.
What is evidence of this?
والتيني والزيتون والشمس وضحاها ما شاء الله
and then الضحى
والضحى
right
yeah ليلي ذا سجى so all these Allah is swearing by his creation okay Allah sometimes swears by himself like say فوربك I swear by your Lord Muhammad who is the Lord of Muhammad Allah okay this is zakat. Okay, zakat. Now, what else an outlet do? Yes, the outlet also is agreement.
What?
Agreement.
Anybody want to guess what that is? Because I definitely do not know.
Well, we don't want to... Oh, maybe like a business agreement?
Agreement. If you write an agreement with your master... That you would work, you work on your own and earn money and buy yourself out of slavery. Agreement to buy yourself out of slavery.
There's Islam. Actually a word for it, but I don't know.
Mukataba.
Well, you can take the.
Mukataba. Yes, that marbuto. Mukataba. Which is called. Like, have an agreement. So Islam allows you to set up an agreement. Now, the slave is allowed to go and work on his spare time or rest time. He's allowed to go and work, get money, and give it to you to buy himself out of slavery. Okay?
Anybody read Juan de Pareja?
What?
It was for the 7th grade, unless you're not reading it for the 7th grade. Which
is that
Juan de Pareja.
No.
It's about a book about the slave, and the rule was that slaves couldn't make art, but in secret he was making art because he realized he had a talent for it because he worked for an art master person. And in the end, he finally is like, oh, yeah, I've been painting a lot. And so the master releases him in, like, from slavery in order for him, because if you disobeyed the rules, you had to be killed. The end.
So the slaves also have rights in Islam. So they have rights to have break time. And then in the break time, they have the right to work to free themselves. To free themselves, to buy themselves out of slavery. Okay. Now, why? Now, the in is one, and the out is many. So what happens to the tank? Well, it becomes empty, right? So this is how Islam developed this smart tactic to get rid of slavery. It's not sudden to cause social problems, and it's about gradual. It's gradual, like slowly but surely, slavery is this design that is ending. Now, what are the slaves' possible choices for the slave of war, prisoners of war? You can either kill them in Islam. You can either kill them, trade them for ransom, trade them for your own prisoners of war, or put them in prison. Okay? Now, put them in prison is like slavery. However, which one is better? To put them in a slavery or to put them in prison?
Well, you guys, because prisons
Why?
Were very, very, very
nasty.
Crowded, very little, and if you've ever read about the ships where they took Africans to here, it came to the point where if one of them became sick, all of them became sick, and you were gonna die.
So, basically, because they come and sell them so that they lose their slaves. But the point here I'm trying to make is the following, is that slaving them is better than going to prison. Why? Because when you slave them, number one, they are exposed to a Muslim family, so they learn about Islam. And usually they get impressed by Islam and become Muslims. But if they don't, that's fine. That's number one. Number two, they are not a burden on a society.
Can't you also get out of slavery with marriage, kind of like the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ's wife?
Oh, he freed her and then he married her.
Oh.
Okay, so he freed her first, and then he married her.
So the agreement was to be married, to get married?
No, he freed her, and then he asked for her hand, and she said, sure. Who would say no to the Prophet?
Oh, okay.
Okay, so there is Maria al-Qubtiyya. When the Prophet got her as a gift, she was a slave, the Prophet freed her, and then asked her for her hand, because the Prophet once set an example of how to deal with women slaves.
Also,
so,
Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had an adopted, quote-unquote, son,
yeah.
Because he got it, what was it, Zakariya?
He was Usama ibn Zayd. Oh, no, Zayd ibn Haritha. Zayd ibn Haritha.
So, he was a gift from Khadija, and so after he received him, he had him for a couple of years, he wasn't really a slave. After a while, his family finally found him because he was lost. And so his family finally found him, and Prophet Muhammad said, oh, you can choose. It's either you can go with them, but if you like it here, you can stay. And so Zayd ibn Haritha
He preferred to be a slave of the Prophet than to be free with his family. So the Prophet freed him and adopted him. When the Prophet adopted him, he changed his last name. So Allah revealed a verse that do not change the names of your slaves. You call their names to their parents. Like Ali, Ibn Muhammad, Ibn Sa'id, Al-Hijri, for example, or something like that. So you do not change. When I adopt a boy or a girl, I cannot change. He has to keep exactly. Otherwise, trouble may come in the future, like they marry somebody and they turn in to be their sister, for example, because he's a slave and then he did not see his sister and then you care. Things like that. So many problems can happen. Okay. How about the... Did you write that? Did you write that? Okay. Now they also have access to... They also have access to court. Slaves have access to court in Islam. Like if a slave sits in agreement with his master that to buy himself out for, let's say, $1,000, and then his master doesn't give him time for rest, then he goes complain to the judge, and the judge will impose on the master to give him a time of rest. Now, he goes and earns money. Let's say the master said, no, I'm not freeing you, even though he paid his master the agreed upon, which is $1,000. Okay? Then he can go to the judge. So they have access to courts and access to judge. Okay? So that's one thing. It's not outside of Islam, slavery is very harsh. Did you see, for example, how did they deal, how did the boy, the Serb dealt with Bosnian prisoners of war? Do you know what happened to them?
Or how
they were massacred. They were massacred, and women were put in rape camps. Camps where they get raped. Okay? And then after they get raped, they get killed. Or they are kept as basically for continuous raping. So they can rape them anytime they feel like they want to rape somebody. Muslim Islam doesn't allow that. For prisoners of war in Islam, okay, they have to be soldiers, first of all. Do you know that? So when they become soldiers, and they become prisoners of war, Islam allows the female, allows the master to marry his slave. So she becomes his slave, but married. Okay? So basically, he can't offer her to entertain anybody else, like they used to do. They used to do just like in the wrong pre-Islamic days. What they do is that they send the slave, like if I have a guest, and I want to entertain the guest. What do? I send to the guest a girl, a slave girl, to entertain him during the night. And this is haram. Haram. So Allah said that do not do that with your women slaves. If you want, then you marry him. Now, she is treated like a wife. In this way, she's treated like a wife. Okay? You understand that? She's treated like a wife. If she gets pregnant, then it's haram to sell her. If she gets pregnant, then it's haram to sell her. And she becomes free, okay? And she becomes free when the master dies. You got that part?
Sure.
So, number one, if she gets pregnant, it's haram to sell her. As long as she's pregnant and she has a child, you can't sell her. That's it. She becomes like your wife, okay? Not wife, but just like step down from a wife. So like a wife, to be said. And then she gets a child, you can't sell her, so she stays with you. When you die, then she becomes free. You got that part right? So that's for it. Now compare that to like prisoners of war in Bosnia. which was during the 21st century, 20th century, which is during in Europe, and Europe used to brag about human rights. So when it, when tests come, and there's a time for testing, they failed the test. Why? Because they abused their slaves. And instead, they
tested
did not.
By a law, by the way.
Yeah. When I tested for their claim, they claim that we have civil rights.
Yes, yeah.
You claim that? And then when they are tested, they don't deal with people, with human rights. They do violate the rights of people.
Also, there is another scenario where we can see how Islam treated. We can see how Islam treated the how did the United States treat the prisoners of the war that came from Afghanistan war.
Wait, what are they doing to them?
This is in... anybody? Did anybody hear about Guantanamo? Yes, Guantanamo Bay. It was very inhumane. And the reason they did it outside of United States, so they are not bound to... Go ahead.
By the Constitution.
Hmm?
They are not bound by the laws of the United States.
Exactly, so they can be abused.
Cuba,
no. No. They are not. It's not.
I guess because Cuba is kind of under our thumb, like under America's thumb, not ours, like under the government's thumb, and so it, Cuba is going to do anything we want, but it's not under our laws. So, and it's not considered a part of the United States, so it's...
Like they're just territory, right?
Potentially. They're not exactly territory. It's kind of like, oh, government, make your people have more rice factories so we can leech off your rights. Right? It's more of the U.S. government will order. Go ahead.
They, the prisoners of war in Guantanamo would have dealt by very, very harshly, very harsh methods of interrogation, very... They put them in cages, like you saw, like animals, and they were really treated very badly. Okay. This is, I mean, it's better for them to be slaves than be the way they were or the way they are right now.
So,
we compare right now the African American slaves and the Muslim slaves. Just like Alina said, they don't have access to courts. They can be abused, they can be tortured, they can be killed. In Islam, you kill your slave, you're prosecuted. This is a crime to kill a slave. But in the African American slaves, they don't have the privilege of buying themselves out. They can't. They don't have the privilege of access to court.
Inside of the South, back when we just became America, they kind of worked the slaves practically to death because in the morning they would go out, they would work on the farms, and that would require a lot of slaves, and then they would keep on working until they were finally done. Then they sleep, because after that you're just plain exhausted, and then after that you wake up in the morning and you work some more. And that is pretty much, you barely got any food because there was a lot of slaves working on the same field. And so, not that much.
You know why Malcolm X was called Malcolm X? Why, what does the X came from?
Because he has so many owners, so like so many last names technically that he doesn't even know.
That's well, not he, it, right?
It's almost, she's close. So the last name of a slave is change it to the last name of the master. So he didn't know, he said, this is not my last name. This is my master's last name. I don't know my family last name, so I'm calling myself X. Malcolm X. And he, Malcolm X, fought to end the slavery here in the United States. So slavery in the United States didn't end, didn't end right away. It was right there. And the slavery moved from like harsh slavery to African American into some slavery, like if you know about that, segregation, exactly. The white tend to go to the black people have to go to the back of the bus. They have to give up their seats to white people. They had. And Malcolm X, exactly. Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, both of them fought this, okay? And because they fought this, there was a movement called Civil Rights Movement. Civil Rights Movement, I think it was during the 60s. Did you hear about it? Yeah. And this Civil Rights Movement finally made the, made African Americans equal to white Americans. That's theoretically on paper. But in reality, black people still get discriminated on. By the way, when every time I go to a prison, okay, I find that it's full of black people.
That's because they're kind of forced to live in the ghettos.
Yeah. So they are being slaves, but in a different way. Because they grow up in poor neighborhoods, and because drugs are spread. So kids, teenagers, before they do something stupid, before they become adult, they do something stupid and they lose their freedom for life. They become slaves of a prison for life. Okay, or prisoner.
America really has come a long way, because if we still had the kind of, if it wasn't written down on paper about slavery and whatnot, none of you guys, and I mean none of you guys, would be attending school right now. If you go later on, you guys would be in such horrible schools, you wouldn't want to go to school right now.
Or you become a second-class citizen.
Okay, never mind. It would be such a horror, it would inflict so much. It's just like a horror for kids that they should not experience.
Now, the depends on, in the past days, discrimination was in the form of give up your seat. You can't drink from this. You can't go to this store. So forth. Dogs and blacks are not allowed in. Things of this kind. Now, the discrimination, because of the civil rights movement, discrimination took a different approach. This different approach was to do it without telling. So if you apply for a position and you're an African American and another white guy applies with you, if they take the white guy and then they write a very nice letter to the black guy, they say, your credentials were impressive and we were impressed about your credentials. However, unfortunately, you don't fit
qualify.
And they don't fit for what we're asking for what we're looking for. And then one guy did another research, which is there was a job and jobs. He applied to jobs with foreign sounding names, like Ahmed, Saeed, the foreign sounding names. And he applies for the job with American-sounding names, John Smith, blah, blah.
And keep in mind, he has the exact same resume. He just changes his name.
Exactly, the same exact resume. Almost the same exact resume. Not literally, to make it obvious, but it is, showing the same qualifications and same experience. The response was very high to the American-sounding names and very little to the foreign-sounding names.
Unfair? I think so.
Yeah. So it's hidden. It's hidden. When they have to select, when they have to evaluate, they discriminate. Okay? They discriminate. You're lucky being in the Bay Area, because the Bay Area is diverse. 50% of the people in the Bay Area are not white. However, you know, I lived in Indiana and I lived in Georgia. People there are really racist. Really racist. I heard things like, you are not full American, you're a fake American, because I'm an immigrant. And I hear statements that you came from a corrupt culture.
Remember last week when we talked about all those stories about my mom and when she went to college? Yeah, that was in Indiana. Discrimination's in the Bible?
There's something called Bible Belt.
Yeah.
Bible Belt. Georgia falls inside the Bible Belt. And they are fully convinced that corrupt people, that non-white people are corrupt. Very, very convinced about
that. Actually, when you think about it, they also have a really, really discriminating name. I think their name is Redneck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
95% of the people in prisons are black, and only 5% are white, okay? So it means a different kind of slavery, but it is a slavery in prisons, okay? And another thing, the jury. The jury is judging the accused person. The jury is judging. The jury is white, okay? And the guy is black. So it's like making one race judging another race. And there are sort of kinds of, you know, awful statements. Like, for example, they say, okay, if he's not guilty on this crime, he must have been guilty on other crimes. So let's get him anyway. The jury, you know, they think this way, okay. This is a black guy who looks like a criminal. And if he's innocent, he didn't do this crime, okay, then he must have done other crimes that he needs punishment for. You see how bad is this argument? You see how bad is this argument? Okay. Any questions?
Okay. Hold on for a second. What is it about?
But I'm also a fan of history. So this black family, essentially, this is in the South, so they have segregated schools where it's like a completely different school. And so in one of the scenes, it said something about that the government just gives all of the money to the white schools and all of the money from the black school is like donated from other sources.
Yeah.
And then they get all the old books from the other school.
You know why she's fond of history? History is a source of wisdom. When you read history, you learn a lot of wisdom. Okay? And the people who don't have history, it's like the people who lost their memory. And they feel that they don't belong to nowhere. However, some history is like...
shameful.
Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. I remember that the history teacher for my daughter, Sarah, he was very mean. He was very mean about Islam. And he was saying that we have to teach this chapter about Islam. We need to learn about our enemy. Unfortunately, our government is making us learn about our enemies. So what I did, I went to him, I got on a meeting with him, and I said, this is offensive and everything. And then I started asking him questions about Islam. So I said, okay, what do you think about women becoming president? Okay. So he said, yeah, I know Islam does not allow that. I said, who told you? Islam allows that, and the evidence, we have Sheikh Hasina in Bangladesh and Benazir Bhutto in Pakistan. Okay? And then I said, and comparing to United States, the United States never had a female president so far.
Anyways, the guy was really racist. He was actually a past veteran. Don't discriminate against them. Sometimes they're really, really nice and really open-minded. But this one was kind of just mean. So what ended up happening for the school year is they just completely didn't even go over it because I'm guessing his lesson plan for the Islam unit was just really racist. So he took out the entire unit and ended up doing Africa for the span of Africa and the Muslim unit.
And then, what, Sarah?
No, the guy?
No, he didn't. I just gave him a note and that's it, you know. So he became, you know, like he behaved himself for the rest of the year.
It's not, if he had continued doing the racist thing, then he would go to the office and make sure that he never does it again.